Hello, and welcome back to the Dungeons & Dragons Podcast UK. My name is Yasmin, and I will be the DM.
Hi, my name is Samantha. I play Elora Greyvale, and she is a sorceress from the province of Nevalia.
Hello, I'm Colin, and I play Cuin de Greymont, a paladin from Flarben in the province of Gavinny.
Hi, I'm Ryan. I play Ogvar Shawfort, a goat-herding, mushroom-seeking ranger from Kessig.
Hi, I'm Rick, and I play Otto, a spring sage from Hanweir, sworn to the land, wandering the plain and setting wrongs to right with his ursine companion, Bojo.
End of the last episode, our four friends found themselves in a hulking great sea cavern, bathed in a blue-green hue. In the centre of the salty lagoon was the skeleton of a ship, long since seaworthy, from which our sorcerer detected some distinct magical auras. Intent on investigating further, Elora's natural efforts to get onto the disintegrating deck meant a rotten roll resulted in a poorly executed leap of faith and a subsequent 5-foot fail as the briny broth left our magic caster soaked through. This was the catalyst for the commotion to come as a slick, silver sea creature seeking its next sustenance burst forth, attempting to chow down on our somewhat surprised champion of the church, which is where the clapperboard falls and we rejoin the ruckus. Episode 122, The Belly of the Beast.
Okay, so is that your turn over, Otto?
Yeah, just standing with my staff for the moment.
Okay, so you're standing there ready. Right, top of the round, Ogvar. You're up next.
Cuin.
Don't I get to play?
Sorry. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No,
you
sorry.
Get munched.
Sorry, Cuin. Sorry. It is your turn, yes. And as an apology, you can have a +2 to your hit.
But, well, there's nothing there.
That's why you got it.
I know.
Right.
That's a backhanded compliment, isn't
so,
it?
So, how far away is the other way out?
So, the creature is still there. You can see it just below the surface of the water. The nearest exit, if you, depending on which path you take, so which path would you like to take? The low path or the high path?
High path.
The high path is about 80 foot long.
That takes us to the other exit.
And that will take you to the other exit, yeah.
Well, I'm going to turn to... I don't know about the rest of you, but this isn't turning out how I expected. I'll tell you what, I'm going for it. And Cuin's going to attempt to jump onto the boat that's only 5 foot away.
You're going to attempt to jump onto the boat? Okay.
Yeah. because she fell in, I never got a chance.
Okay, make a jump check.
Oh, God, he's pulling him out.
That's a 13 plus 316.
Yeah, okay, you'll be able to make it onto the deck of the boat from there, yeah. So you've jumped onto the deck of the boat. It's at a 45 degree angle, so it's quite sharp. So your movement will be halved as if going over difficult terrain.
Okay. And
that will take up an action to jump.
Okay.
So you have an action remaining. Would you like to move a little further, or would you like to stay there? Because you are quite close to the water's edge.
I'm going to move another 5 foot back from the water's edge.
Okay, yeah. So you're able to make a little way up the boat. you finally found yourself a decent little foothold to kind of shove your heel or your toe in, just in the kind of the cargo hold cover. So this kind of gridded, large section of board, which you're able to kind of get a decent foothold in to kind of make sure you're staying upright. Okay, so top of the round, unless you've got anything else to do, Kieran?
No, I'm all right at the moment.
Okay. Ogvar, you're up next.
Okay, so cave's about 80 foot, is that correct?
About 80 foot long, yeah.
Yeah.
40 foot wide.
Okay. And the... Right, okay, so if you will let me do this, Ogvar would like to... Hopefully there are, like, algaes and seaweed and things growing in the water... I'd like to cast Entangle on any plants in the water, which is a 40-foot radius, so it should cover all the water and sort of make a matted carpet on the top that would the creature will struggle to break through if he attempts to.
Nice. So, you cast this spell, and you are obviously stood quite close to the start of this gangplank.
Mm-hmm.
So you cast this spell, and it's less of a circular area and more of kind of a cone, due to the shape of this cavern. But the algae, you manage to cast this spell, and the algae forms, it blossoms with some speed, forming a dense mat which encompasses the boat. It doesn't cover over the boat, but it encompasses around the boat, extending about 5-10 foot out past there. And also covers the area where this path splits off into two, the high and the low path. The creature, which is in the water, is entangled.
Hey.
You see these long strands of seaweed come, like, kind of almost flick out of the water with a mind of their own and begin to, like, wrap themselves over and bind themselves around this creature as it thrashes in an attempt to escape.
So I'll cast that and stick his hands out, sort of like, almost sort of like controlling the weeds, like weaving them with his hands, and say, hopefully this will buy everyone a little bit of time to make their way to the exit.
Way to go, Ogvar. That's impressive.
Nice. Is there a saving throw for that one at all?
Yes. Class is entangled. So a creature can break free and move half its normal speed using a full round action to make a DC 20 strength check or a DC 20 escape artist check. A creature that succeeds on a reflex save is not entangled but still moves only at half speed.
Okay. Right, yeah. Cool. Perfect. Okay, so is that the end of your turn?
I think Ogvar would probably start making his way across the gangplanks.
Yeah.
Making his way for the other side of the cavern.
So you would be able to get past where Elora and Kewin... Oh, well, Kewin was and Elora is, making your way basically to the junction where this path splits.
Okay,
so next up, Carl the Koi. He is going to make a full round attempt to escape from the entanglement. So it was a DC 20, was it?
Yeah, strength or escape artist.
Strength, so let's go for a strength check. Okay, so with a 5 plus 7, it's not going to be enough to escape your entanglement. Your seaweed almost binds tighter around it. And you can see it start thrashing as the seaweed actually begins to pull it down below. Okay, so next up, Elora.
Elora's interested in these crates on the boat. For once, she's actually quite interested in this. And she'd like to go and have a closer look. So she is going to... she's going to dim door it over there.
Okay.
Can I cast Dim Door?
I thought, I genuinely thought you were going to jump. I was like, no, don't do it. You failed the first time. Okay, so you're going to Dim Door over onto the boat.
She's going to Dim Door over onto the boat, and then she's going to make her way towards these crates to examine them.
Okay, so getting over towards the crates, you're going to have a good rummage?
Yes.
So, make me a... If you're going to have a rummage, you already know it's there. You don't need to make me a search check. So, roll me a percentile, please.
Oh. That...
It's either really good or really bad.
That's a... Is that a 4 or 40? No, it's a 4. If it's a double 0, that's a 4, isn't it? Yeah, 4.
Right, okay. So, roll me another percentile, please.
That is a 26.
So, you find a plus 1 shield... Okay, roll me another percentile, please.
Oh. That's an 8.
Roll me a percentile, please.
That is a 61.
61, you find a plus 1 dagger. Let's make it a bit more fun. Otto, roll me a percentile.
I can nearly guarantee I'll roll higher than that.
83.
Oh, geez.
83, nice. 26.
Cool.
More than 10 times higher. That's got to be good, right?
I did make those dice.
Okay, Otto, roll me again. A percentile.
What percentile?
76.
Ooh. Okay, that is a Wand of Knock.
Oh!
With three charges.
Knock is in K-N-O-K.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, I like.
So, Qin, roll me a percentile, please.
It's all very nice stuff. I hope you guys get out with it.
That's the same as Laura's. 4.
Roll again.
79.
Okay. So, roll me another percentile, please.
78.
Okay, roll me another percentile.
49.
And another percentile, please.
56. My age. 56. Oh.
So, there is a Divine Scroll of Goodberry with 3 charges. Okay, and Ogvar, roll me a percentile, please.
First one is a 10.
Okay, roll me another percentile, Ogva.
That's a 41, please.
You find a blessed weapon. You don't find. Laura finds a oil of blessed weapon.
Okay.
Okay, Otto, another percentile, please.
Ooh.
69.
Nobody say anything. Just nobody.
I was trying to resist.
And roll me another percentile, please.
95?
Oh,
yes, 95.
95, wowzers. Okay, so you find a scroll of Summon Monster 2.
Oh.
Well, get that out straight away.
Okay, Kieran. Percentile, please.
Oh, it's still going.
Scroll of Summon Monster.
2, yeah.
2. 2 is in number or?
2. Number 2.
2 is in.
1.
1.
Yep.
1. Okay, roll me another percentile, please.
It'll be 100.
16.
16, okay. Roll me another percentile, please.
44.
Right, you find a... Roll me another percentile, please.
99.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, okay, so you find a plus 1 heavy steel shield of silent moves improved.
One heavy steel shield of violent
silent
moves.
Violent or silent?
Silent. I thought it was silent. Silent.
Well, Colin's got violent.
Violent. That says it all, doesn't it?
I heard something violent as well. Yeah.
Silent moves.
That is so Colin.
I just get the image of him bashing someone to death with it.
Well, I was just thinking if you charge somebody, it gives you extra.
I was trying to work out what an earth violent moves could be. I had no idea.
Well, I just thought, well, you know, if I'm charging somebody, we'd be sword and shield.
Okay, and Ogvar, last one, please. Roll me a percentile.
Okay, let's have a go.
Is this all stuff that Alora's pulling out of these crates?
Yes.
Right. That'd be a 78.
78, okay. So 78. You... Ah, what a lucky roll. Braces of Archery Lesser.
Oh, look what these are. Look at these. Look what I've found.
Laura, you better be making it back from that boat alive. Okay. So, Laura, that is everything that you find within the crates.
Oh, Kimin. Oh, look at all this stuff I found, but I can't possibly carry it myself. Can you take some of this? There's a heavy shield, there's another shield, there's all sorts here. Can you take some of this stuff for me? And we'll get it back over. I'll get us back over to the other side.
Yes, but can I ask you a question?
You can.
Don't take this the wrong way, but why on earth would you go swimming when you could have done that to start with?
Well, I guess I was just trying to save drawing on my powers a little bit, but I've decided that maybe I should have just done that in the first place. Hindsight, Kieran, is a wonderful thing.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Would you rather jump back?
Well, no. Now that I can see that you can teleport.
Then
sort
never
of
question
thing.
A sorcerer. Come on, give me your hand.
Okay. Righty-ho.
And we will dim door back across with all the stuff that we've gathered.
Okay, where are you dim dooring to?
I am going to dim door to. What?
Is it. Sorry, Kara. Are we still in initiative? Are we still fighting or.
I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, so it was Elora's. It, so, nah, sorry, yeah. So you've.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Sorry.
No,
to be,
that's
sorry
perfectly,
to be
that's
dickhead.
Perfectly acceptable. No, that's fine. So, no. Okay, so I've just got all that stuff. Let's rewind back to the beginning. Yeah, because she's had all her movements and everything, so she's just found that stuff, so whoever is next in the order.
Yeah, okay, so what we'll do, we'll take it from where you ask Kieran to help you bring it back across.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so next up, Otto.
So, somewhat inspired by our ranger's magic, I'm going to make it a little bit worse for our foe. Otto's going to stand there and he's going to look into the water and slowly raise his arms out upstretched and lift them towards the ceiling, and as he's doing it he's focusing on all the plants, all those natural plants that are growing within the water. Plant growth is the spell.
Okay.
It's going to affect everything within 100 feet. I can designate areas not to be affected, which is anything above the water. And anything within that area, well, the plants basically entwined to form this thicket that any creature's got to hack or force a way through. Speed within that area drops to 5 feet, or 10 feet for large or larger creatures, which should combine with the entangle, which means they move at half speed.
Nice.
Wow.
And then, given this would probably form a pretty solid mat on the top, I might just casually walk on the other side of the ship away from where this thing last went in.
The man walks
walk
on
across,
water.
I'm guessing, across the top of the water. And make my way quite casually over to where the others are chatting on top of the ship and ask, are you coming?
You've now formed a pretty solid crust on top of the water surface. It's really solid. Okay, so is that the end of your turn?
Yeah, I think I've done enough.
Okay. Next up, Kieran.
Yeah, just come in now. Yes. Why didn't we do that at the beginning?
Do what at the beginning?
The dory thingy rather than you trying to jump.
Oh, well, You see, hindsight is a wonderful thing, Kieran. I thought I'd try and just save a little bit of energy, but, well, I guess the first round didn't work out, so I just thought this might be easier.
Definitely easier. I'd give you all the heavy stuff. Yeah, you carry the scrolls.
Yeah, okay. Would you rather jump back? Or would you
why jump over when you got it all sorted? I'm just asking why we didn't do that in the first place, that's all.
Well, that's fine. You ask away.
Okay.
By the way, Kieran, love you.
Of course.
Is that the end of your turn?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
How can I move? Because obviously I've got to move towards Laura. Yeah. Can I cast a spell?
Yeah, sure you can. I will just say that Otto has walked across the surface of this of the lake to you. On top of the mat of solid plants.
Right. Alright. Well, can I change what I was doing then? Because I just realised that.
Yeah.
How far away is the monster?
From where you are, 5, 10. Probably about 20 foot, 30, 25 foot.
Could I make it to it?
Yeah.
Is it actually visible on the surface, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Sorry, I just naturally assumed it was under the water, but I could be wrong.
No, well, it's not underwater.
No, because he's actually ensnared it, so.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, so what are we doing?
I'm going to charge and smite it.
Okay.
Using my electric gloves as well. In a combination.
Okay, you do that then. Okay, roll to hit.
That is 25.
Does not hit. So you charge over, Kieran, and you bring your sword down, your gloves arcing with electricity, running down the sword, and you bring the sword down, smashing over the monster's head, fully expecting it to do some significant damage. Your sword simply skates over its scales.
Okay.
And it roars angrily at you.
Not nice being hit, is it? I never picked on you.
Okay, so next up, Ogvar, you're at the top of the round.
Yeah, I think I'm just so let me get a grasp of where everyone is. So Ogvar's just past the ship. Otto's on plant crust on the water. Allura's on the ship, and Kieran stood by the monster.
Yes. So right. You are kind of stood at the kind of point where this this gangplank kind of splits. So closest to you is Kieran. He'll be kind of near the wall and back behind you slightly. Otto will be back behind you, but further in towards the centre of the lake. And Allura is on the ship. Yeah.
I'm going to look at Allura and go, do you need any help?
Well, I found a load of stuff. Kieran's carried a load of it because it was heavy. I've got the rest. No, I'm good. I'm good, thank you. Okay.
I'd imagine that Kieran's probably dropped it, seeing as he ran over to smack the monster.
You might want to check and see if Kieran's dropped the stuff. He got a load of stuff.
Well, I don't know how much longer this thing's going to be held by the spells.
Go and help Kieran!
Okay, so yeah, Ogvar will walk over to the... No, he's not. No. What is going on? Oh, dear me. So, all the footways, footpaths, go up now and go to a higher point in the cave, and that's where the exit is, yeah?
So, no, the exit is on a perfectly flat shingle beach, so it's at water level where the exit is. The path which goes out towards the far wall is flat. The path which goes past the closest to you is raised. It goes up like a hill.
Okay, yeah. I'll carry along the path I'm going to be, just making a bit of distance between me and the monster, and just being ready to find a bit of support if anybody needs it.
Okay, so you're heading along the flat or raised, because you're at the decision point.
I'll go past the raised for a better vantage point.
Okay, so you start making your way up this path. You're probably about halfway up the cave now, halfway up the cavern.
Okay.
You're probably about five to 10 foot off the water.
Okay, brilliant.
Okay,
that's next all I'm going to do.
Perfect. Okay, so next up, Carl the Koi. He's going to try to escape from the from your entanglement. So it's a 20 on the strength, is it?
Yes, please.
And with a 13 plus 7, it's just going to hit the 20. So it is able to escape from your entanglement, which is a full round action, so it can take no further action. But you can see it thrash in the water and actually bite free of its restraints. It physically rips the seaweed off. So, Kieran, you're now stood next to a loosed monster.
Will it have to take a saving throw to not be ensnared next time? If it enters or is in that area, it will need to pass a check.
No, because it's just escaped from it, so it should have it should be able to move at half speed now through the entanglement, shouldn't it?
Grass weeds, blah blah blah, entwine the creature in the area or those who have entered the area, holding them fast, causing them to become entangled. The creature can break free. Yeah.
Essentially, what happens, as I read it, is it needs to have it gets to make a saving throw at the start of its turn.
Yeah.
To avoid being entangled, and then it can act essentially normally if it passes that.
Yeah. Was it a reflex saving throw, was it, Rick?
Yeah, so it says each round on your turn, the plants once again attempt to entangle all creatures that have avoided or escaped entanglement. So on your turn, it'll attempt to entangle it.
Yeah, okay.
If it's still in the area. That's how the spell reads, anyway.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Either way, that's a full round action for the creature to escape.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, next up, Elora.
Okay, so Laura's going to gather all this loot, quickly stuff it into pockets, backpacks, anywhere she can hang it. And because it's quite heavy with the shields and whatnot, she'd probably be quite encumbered with that lot, or to a certain degree.
Yep.
So she is going to cast Dimdor, which I believe will take her and her possessions. And she will go to the far end of the cavern where the exit is.
Yeah, you Dimdor yourself right over to the exit. There we go.
With all the gear.
Out. Yeah, there we go. End of your turn, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Otto. You are currently stood by the boat on your plant crust.
How far away is the creature from me at the moment?
It's roughly about 30 foot. Sorry, plant crust. It just sounds like something a vegan would eat.
We know what we're trying next town we're in. So I am going
to 30 foot.
Hawk up a good one. And I'm going to, having summoned all that in a bile, spit it at this thing's eyes and see if we can hit it with its blinding spittle. So I need to make a ranged touch attack. Which can be a total of plus 3 on my dice. Let's see what we get. That's not great. 13 plus 3 is 16.
Okay, is there a reflex save or anything?
No, it's just a roll to hit.
Okay, no, that hits on a ranged touch.
Then our new friend is somewhat blinded until it spends an action getting rid of it. Just trying to buy as much time as we can to give everyone a chance to get away. Cue in. And, and then I'm going to quickly walk about 40 feet closer towards the exit while muttering that some people might want to maybe take the better part of Valor and, you know, leave it alone.
So Elora just sees Otto take a casual stroll on water.
On
the plant crust, yeah.
On the plant crust. Lovely.
Yeah, on the plant crust. Okay, nice. Kieran, you're up next.
Right. Well, I suppose this thing's quite hard, really, isn't it? Well, I suppose I might as well get a jog on in the opposite direction. I think it's not working out very well here. I'll have a run in the opposite direction, towards the area that we're going.
Okay, so you're moving off.
Yep.
Okay, Otto, what does the spittle do in terms of negatives?
So it blinds the target. So it gains a blinded condition, I believe. So all that goes without, minus two to their armor class, lose dex bonus to the AC, moves at half speed. and all opponents are considered to have total concealment. So 50% miss chance.
Okay, so as you go past, it's going to make an attack of opportunity, which it's going to have to roughly snap at you at. So go high or low for me, Kevin.
High!
Okay, high to miss you. With a 20, it's still going to get you.
Out of how many? Oh, right.
It rolled 20 on a percentile.
I thought it was an attack roll. Okay, come on.
No, I'm going to do the attack. I'm going to do the attack roll now. Okay, so it's going to go for bite, a 5 plus 21, 26 to hit you.
Okay.
Hits.
26. 23.
Okay, so that's 48 points of damage. Right.
That wasn't the damage, Colin.
What?
That wasn't the damage, that was just a roll to hit.
Oh, right.
You've still got the damage to come yet, mate.
That's alright.
So, 48 plus 12 damage. 48. That is 14. 34 points of damage as it bites you. And with the improved grab, it's going to automatically initiate a grapple. So can you make me an opposed grapple check, please, Kieran?
Would you say that's dead or re-throw?
Unfortunately, I'd call that a 4.
Okay, that's fine. 4 plus grapple, 12, 16.
Okay, so 31 grapple. So,
brilliant.
Yeah, it's chomped you again. It's sunk its teeth, even though it's got this disgusting yellowy green loogie covering its eyes. It has snapped at you, and as you've gone to move past, and by pure chance, it has sunk its teeth in, again ripping apart your chainmail, and it's got you pinned in its maw. It's unsurprisingly really pissed off. you've tangled it up, made a plank crust over its home, and then spat in its face. So, when you put it that way, I'd be a little bit annoyed as well, to be honest. Okay, so next up in the round is Ogvar.
Sorry, I've got my big thinking hat on at the moment. You can't hold your turn in 3.5, can you?
You can delay to the end of the round.
Yeah, you can delay.
Just to keep things moving, can I look something up when you guys continue to play?
Are you entirely sure you want to do that because it is the monster up next?
Okay. I don't know whether this is going to work because I don't know what this arrow is tuned to, but I have a slaying arrow, which if it's keyed to that type of creature, which I don't know what it is, it has to pass the DC 20 fortitude or die instantly. But I don't know whether the arrow will work on it.
Right, the plus one arrow is keyed to a particular type or subtype of creature. If it strikes such a creature, the target must make a DC 20 fortitude save or die.
Right,
okay.
Yeah. Right. If it's the right type of arrow, it's exactly what we want.
Right, okay, so we're going to roll.
Oh, no.
And you know what? Just because I'm super mean, you can roll for it, Ogvar.
Oh, God.
Go for it.
Right, so what do I want? I want this to land on dragon, don't I?
You have a 5% chance.
He has a 6%.
And you want
chance.
It to
yeah,
land
but
on dragon.
It's better than a 4% chance,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I like your positivity.
Yeah. Oh, God. So what I've got, is it 17 to 22 I've got to get?
Yes.
Christ almighty.
I'm going to call it right now. You're going to roll 100 just for the one time that we're useless.
The most useless one ever.
Right.
Vermin.
Ah. 61.
Oh, man. Magical beasts. Hey, at least it's something useful.
You might be able to pick it up.
That's really put me in a situation where I don't know what the hell to do.
You wouldn't know that until you fired it, but at this point in time, what are you going to do? You're still stood on there. You would be able to pick the arrow up. I'm assuming you would anyway at some point, so we're not going to go through the whole, it hits, it misses, you can go find it later. We'll just assume that you would pick it back up afterwards.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a little bit confused now, so what am I doing?
So, it's your turn.
Yep.
It's a case of what do you want to do?
Right, so I could fire it, but I'd be able to get it back, basically.
Yes,
I'm sorry, I'm spending far too much time here, but I'm trying to...
No, it's fine.
I'm just trying to
Technically, in those sort of instances, shouldn't roll for it until after he's decided what he's going to do.
Yeah, I suppose. So... Yeah, I'll just say fair shout. I'll just say I'll try to hit with that arrow.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Am I within 30 feet from a point blank or not?
No, you are not within. Hang on, 5, 10, 15, 20. Yes, you are within 30 feet.
Okay, does Q and being there put me in flanking?
No, because he's currently being moshed. He's not flanking.
Fair shout. Yep, okay. Otherwise engaged. Okay, that is going to be a 30 to hit.
Oh.
Yeah, a 30 will hit, yeah.
Nice, okay.
But your arrow is, it's a keyed one, so I don't think it's going to do any damage.
Okay. Fiddlesticks.
Do normal damage?
That's what I'm just thinking, but it didn't say normal damage in there.
No. Just plus one arrow, wasn't it?
Yeah. But then, it's just said plus one arrow. You know what, let's treat it as a normal plus one arrow.
Well, it still hit it, so it's going to damage it, isn't it, surely?
Because, let's treat it as a normal plus one arrow, because until that magical effect takes place, which obviously it's not because it's not the right type, then it won't be used up. It'll be inert.
Okay.
So, roll the damage as if you've hit with a plus one.
Yeah. Okay, I can't retcon that I've moved to get my skirmish.
Yeah, no, look. You've moved. You've moved in closer, you've got your skirmish, you've fired. Let's just go with it.
Yeah, sorry, I'm taking too much time here. That's going to be a 10, 7, 18 points of damage, please.
Nice, okay. So you've shot an arrow into it. It's sufficiently annoyed, but it's not letting go of Cumin. Kieran is still being chomped.
Okay.
Okay, and next up is the creature, the dragon eel. Unfortunately, there is only one path that the dragon eel would take at this point. There is only one thing it would do. It would not let you go. So, Kieran.
Yeah?
You feel its jaws release ever so slightly. And then its head is tilted back, and you are promptly swallowed whole. Okay, so you will take 1d8 plus 8 points of crushing damage. So d8. You take 8, 9, 10, 11 points of crushing damage, and a further 8 points of acid damage.
Okay. I'm dead.
No, you're not dead. You're still alive.
No, I am dead. I've got no hit points.
You're on death saving throws, aren't you?
You're on death saving throws.
Minus 3.
Yeah, you're just unconscious.
But you're inside a...
But you're inside a thingy. Oh, man.
Okay, So, Kewin is currently unconscious. Okay. You've just all seen Kewin get swallowed up by this creature as it snaps happily. Okay, and its next move is it will dunk its head under the water, clearing away the loogie from its eyes. And it will promptly crawl out and stand upon the firm plant crust. And that is the end of its turn. It is now kind of flopping sinuously onto the solidified plant matter, with a distinct bulge in its gullet.
Okay.
Right.
Right. Fucking hell.
Okay, so, sorry, next up is Allura.
Okay, Laura is standing on the opposite shingle shore, watching this in abject horror. She's desperately searching within herself to try and control her panic in order to put her thoughts into some kind of semblance. This all happens in kind of a split second. In her abject horror, she is going to release an absolute scream of horror. And this comes out in the form of casting a sound lance. She's just going to scream, Sonus Floctus! And she's going to send this sound wave down the cave directly at this creature in the hope that... In her head, she's hoping that something will make it violently vomit. She has nothing else apart from just abject horror and screaming. And this will fit in perfectly with this spell.
Okay, perfect. So, what are you rolling to hit?
Right, there is a fortitude save for half damage. It's an auto. Okay. It's an auto hit. It's within range. She's got 190 foot of range, so it's well within range. And it is 98 sonic damage.
So. Okay, so it has just rolled a 4 plus 14, total 18 on the fortitude save.
Right, okay. Okay, so it passes the fortitude save, just. So she's just...
Taking half damage, but 96 worth?
96 worth.
So. Right, okay, roll and roll good.
98, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, D8s. Nice. Yeah.
Okay, so that's 8. 8, that's 16. 19. 25. 29. 31. 39. That's 44 points of damage half. So that would be 22 points of sonic damage.
22 points, nice, okay.
And so, she is still screaming.
Okay, so you release this piercing shriek which manifests itself as this almost invisible distortion of air in a lance shape, which you send screaming, literally, towards the dragon eel. It strikes true and you see a large hole appear in its hide, spurting blood as it's almost pushed back ever so slightly on the plant crust, its kind of rear flippers scrabbling to stay above the surface of the hole it's just emerged from. And you've done some pretty good damage to it. The accumulated damage is pretty good on it. It's now actually starting to look relatively wounded. So I'm going to say there is a 25% chance that it's going to throw up Kewin. So Elora, make me that roll. What's your increment first of all?
50 to 75.
Roll for it then.
Come on.
Oh, I've got a roll for it.
It's all on you.
Oh yeah, this is on you. So if Kewin dies, we're all agreed this is Laura's fault for not making it vomit, right?
Well, Well, she's got a couple of cracks at this because he's got a couple of death saving throws. Hasn't he?
Just need to get him out of there.
76.
Oh,
that's painful.
For sake.
Oh my god. Oh
shit at D&D.
Shit. Mother.
Right.
Hubbard.
Okay, so it does not throw up. It comes close. You see this kind of action. However, Kieran does not come jettisoning out of the dragon eel's throat.
During this screaming, she is going to shout, "I'll get you next time!"
Okay, so next up, Otto.
Just desperately trying to check something that I haven't used for a long time. One second. I am looking at options. Right. I just have these images of Otto striding away, thinking everything's okay. Then there's this clang, a gasp, a gulping sound. Then Laura's screaming and magic's flying across the room, and he just sort of stops walking across this plant crust. Puts his head down, looks up at Allura. It ate him, didn't it? Shit. And he is going to cast a spell. Don't know how much time we've got, but I'm going to try something.
Is it a called Get My Friend Out of a Dragon's Throat?
It's kind of the druidic version of it. I'm good. He's going to spend a full round casting something here, which obviously isn't going to take effect until his next turn.
Yeah.
He's casting Summon Nature's Ally 3. And he's...
Okie dokie.
He's trying to summon a few first level creatures, CL1s.
Yep.
And he's going to get a D4 plus 1 squid. Which I'm going to have appear in the water next to this thing.
Okay.
And then we'll see if this gets its attention a little bit. But then obviously it'll take a full round before it does anything.
Okay, right. So, next up in the round is Kewin. Can you please make me a death saving throw and make it very, very good?
15.
Yes!
That's a
15.
Save.
Okay, that is one save. Amazing. Thank you. Great.
Good start.
Perfect. It's a start. Okay, so next up is... Oh, Kieran, you're in there.
He's not very digestible, clearly. You're bitter.
Well, I've got my armour stuff on, haven't I?
He's my oiled his vestments.
Okay. Everyone, make me a spot check, please, unless you're queuing, in which case you are inside a dragon eel and cannot.
You definitely see it.
You can't see shit.
Okay.
Well, Otto. I would have got 22.
Well, it's a shame you couldn't do that when you were trying to escape.
That's a 10 plus 5, that's a 15 all in for Allura.
10 plus 11 for Ogvar, 21.
10 plus 16 for Otto, 26.
Nice. Okay, so all three of you can see, as you look closely at this dragon, obviously the point of interest in the room, this hole which Allura has put in its side using the sound lance, you can all see a thin trickle of acidic-y green-yellow fluid dribbling out of its side. As Allura, you have pierced its gizzard, therefore rendering its acid useless.
Nice.
Okay, so, top of the round, Ogvar.
Okay. What Ogvar is going to do, he is going to reach into his thigh quiver and pull out one of his special arrows, and he is going to use his last sleep arrow to try and put the creature to sleep to buy some more time.
Okay. Roll to hit.
No idea. Still with. Yeah, okay. Getting all fingers and thumbs now.
Come on.
Okay,
come on.
That's going to be. Oh, I don't think this is going to be good enough. 11 plus 14 is 25.
25 will not hit. Ugh. Yeah, you fire this arrow and you're attempting to get
plus,
it in.
It's a plus one arrow. Does that give it? Does that make it 26?
Still doesn't hit.
Oh, poo.
So you fire this arrow and you're probably trying to attempt to get it into this weak spot, this hole that's opened up, but you're unable to do, you're just unable to get it in there, and it just skitters over the scales, disappearing over into the plant crust. Okay, so next up is the dragon eel, Carl, as I named him. So usually, Kewin, you would take a further 8 points of acid damage. However, with Elora having destroyed its gizzard, you will take no further damage from the acid, as it is now trickling out of the hole in its side. Which is a very lucky strike, because otherwise Kewin would be very, very dead.
Oh, no.
Okay, so, with no one left... actually, Otto, you moved up to it, didn't you?
No.
No, you didn't.
No.
Dang it.
How about hell no?
Okay, no. So, the nearest person to it, Ogvar, you are up in the air. It's not going to try and get at you. It's not going to be able to get you up there unless it goes up the gangplank.
Yep,
but the nearest person to it will be Otto. So it will move 20 foot towards you, Otto. Oh,
that's what we've got now.
It'll be gangplank style.
Fun.
Woo, woo.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Okay, its speed is obviously significantly slower because it's on land. It's not designed for land movement. It's got fins and flippers, so it's got this kind of almost sinuous snake-like movement. And it's not the lightest creature, so it is causing the plant crust to creak and crack in some places with its sheer weight, as it's kind of almost got this rocking, sinuous movement from flipper to flipper, which you can actually see is causing more acid to kind of spurt out every time it goes the one direction, leans on its wounded side. Okay, so next up in the round is Elora. Go, do something good.
Elora is still screaming, and she is going to have another crack at this. She's going to cast yet another sound lance directly at it. Because
another crack.
Yeah, it had some kind of effect, so she's shouting again. So, you will need to make
a
save for...
25.
Oh yeah, that's going to pass the save. So, it'll be half damage. 98 rolls. So that's 8.
Come on.
10, 16, 18, 22. 26, 29. That's 33 halved, so
for 16
points of damage.
Okay, nice. Amazing. Yeah, so you release this other scream, but again you see the same effect. It goes flying towards the creature, and again it strikes it in the side. You can see like a large kind of scar mark across its like chest, or doesn't have a chest, across its side and going over its back. You've taken out a decent portion of the spiked kind of fin on its back out as well. It's like a long slice out, and you've done some decent damage to it. Unfortunately, you haven't had a main body strike at this point. It hasn't been enough damage to kind of make it throw up, so you're not going to get that opportunity on this round. Okay, are you doing anything else?
No.
Okay. So, next up, Otto. You generate 3 squids. Squids. Yeah, in this little pool of water where this creature has crawled out of and now moved 20 foot away from, you see 3 squids dancing quite happily in the waves. Looking quite confused, nevertheless, but they're there.
Yeah, they're in the wrong spot. Otto's swearing again. it's just not going... to be a great day for anyone.
Damn it, can't get my squids in a line.
And Laura's going to shout, "It's okay, Otto, your squid's in."
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, dear.
Hell no.
So.
Fuck's sake, it's coming for you next. That's it. That's one bad joke too many.
Bring Q in to me. Come to Mama.
So, muttering a litany of curses, Otto is going to... He's going to have to wild shape, and he's going to turn into the form of a giant octopus and meet this thing head on. He is glowing because of his luminous armour, and he's going to just forget about these squid that are some way behind and utterly useless, and he's just going to go in this thing and rip out Kewin if he needs to.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so you've wild-shaped. Are you attacking, yeah?
It's a standard action to change, so I can't attack
standard
as well.
Standard action, okay.
But you know what? I am going to move up to it. I'm gonna go engage this thing and see what we can do.
After Alora acquired an unplanned early bath, the cave crawl took a bit of a dive. A bitey blighter instigated watery war, leaving Kewin, Ogvar, Otto, and our seriously soggy sorceress to begin yet another bitter battle, as they were forced to go on the defensive once more. Much wielding of weapons ensued and many spells were slung. Otto and Ogvar worked together to create a cracking combo of spells, successfully converting the salty surface to a fine carpet of vines and vigorous vegetation. It was soon realised that the crates had been a definitive discovery and did not disappoint, as they delivered plenty of magical marvels which Alora eagerly collected and stowed. With the dragon eel finally ensnared, our companions took a significant load of loot sourced by the sorceress and began to leave the lake and the snake behind them. However, Avacyn only knows what our party paladin's thought process was, as Kewin chose that particular moment to charge the creature, apparently spoiling for the kill, just as the watery warmonger broke free of its binds. And Alora, Ogvar, and Otto could only observe in horror as fate took their unconscious friend into the bowels of the beast. Previously, the Spring Sage had successfully delivered one of his more disgusting habits as he offensively spat in his foe's face, leaving it at a distinct disadvantage, its sight now purposefully purged, and with panic most prevalent, Alora engaged and Ogvar unleashed a slaying arrow to no discernible effect, and the Demon of the Depths continued to prove itself a durable adversary.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Having you as a listener means everything to us. So, whichever streaming service you choose to listen to us with, please give us a like, subscribe, and follow. We would love for you to join us on our Facebook or Twitter page, where you can catch up with all of our latest news. While you're waiting for the next episode of Secrets of the Silver City, why not pop over to our website, where you can read all of the information about this campaign, from backstories to setting. All of the links are in the bio of this episode. Join us again next week for the next instalment. Thank you for listening.